Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back into the Titans here in hour number three. The move this week, Quandre Diggs and the Titans mutually agree to part ways. Diggs coming in for his second season with the Titans. He's Cam Ward's cousin and was able to fill in as Kevin Winston was getting his legs under him at the NFL level, working his way back from the knee injury he suffered last year. But Winston now ready to step into a bigger role, and I'm excited to see him out there. This is a Titans defense that you don't have a whole lot of young pieces on that side that you can build around, and Winston is certainly one of the guys that you believe will be a piece of this team moving forward. If he hadn't been injured, there's a chance that he was a first or second round pick instead of where the Titans got him in the third.
Yeah, no, and they were able to manufacture a pick and get him, you know, moving back the way they did. And I think that was a good move for them. And he is going to be back out there. And I will say he did have a wrap or like a form of tape on his leg yesterday. I think he was a full participant, I want to say. I don't recall if he showed up on the injury report. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I will say this. He's an exciting young player that plays with violence, and he gives you versatility. And, you know, he should help from a variety of ways, matching up against tight ends. Dalton Schultz, you know, he had a big game,
right?
You know what I mean? He's a big part of the offense, so that's going to be a good matchup to see.
Kevin Winston was not listed on the injury report, so full participant yesterday. That's good to see. It felt like a similar situation to Tyler Lockett, where you brought in this veteran guy to have as a placeholder for the young guy that you brought in, and once Chim Dike started to overtake Tyler Lockett, Lockett and the Titans mutually agreed to part ways, and the same thing happens with Quandre Diggs. I think this is the better thing for the team. Yes, Diggs was a fine player, but you need to see what you've got in Kevin Winston now that he's fully healthy.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, because I called Quandre soon after the news broke. And, I mean, look, it was one of those situations where you got four safeties. Like, it's hard to get into the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that's trying to, you know, still put good tape out there. And obviously, there were a couple miscommunications, et cetera, and things that happened. And, you know, to the naked eye, there was one that was his fault, but it was actually someone else's.
Right.
Whatever. But the point is that he just was like, man, look, I'm in the way here. You know what I mean? I don't like the way this is happening. I, you know, kind of felt like it was not working for all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull myself out. And that's basically what happened.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I think you can read the writing on the wall of he wasn't going to be around next year. Yeah. It's not like Quandre Diggs was somebody the Titans were viewing as a future piece of this team. And Kevin Winston is expected to be. And I think he's looked good in the limited opportunities that we've gotten to see him, but now you get to see him in that big nickel spot when they play three safeties, and who knows, maybe towards the end of the year he starts getting in there over Xavier Woods at times too. It is just important to start to see, we have the conversation almost every week of who is going to be part of the solution here in Nashville. Like, what players do you have right now that you feel like can be part of a winning team down the road? Winston is one of the names that we mentioned because you spent a top 100 pick on him. He clearly has promise. Now you finally get to go see that out on the field, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I think that's really what it boils down to. Get him out there on the field.
Yeah.
Get to see him just get some significant snaps. Because I remember talking to him from start one to start two, and he was like, you know, it was just good to get out there and run around and get the feel for the speed and just get that comfort level. And that's something we saw from last year to this year with Cedric Gray. So it's always good if you could get those early reps. And in this case, like it's always high pressure with the league. Don't get it twisted. But in this case, it's like, okay, you know what? Everything's bad anyway. Yeah. So, man, just go out and play free. Ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen Cedric Gray step into that role after missing most of last season. This is a very different-looking defense than what we had at the beginning of the year here in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, all three of your starting cornerbacks are either gone or not playing. L'Jarius Sneed obviously is on injured reserve. So you've got three different starting cornerbacks. You've traded away Draymond Jones, who is one of your starting edge rushers. Now Quandre Diggs is gone. So it's a very different looking defense, but it's a young defense. And you're giving some of these guys a chance to prove themselves. Marcus Harris is a good example. That with Roger McCreary gone, now you get to see what the sixth round pick looks like in the slot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was horrible against the Chargers in that first start that he made. And we'll see what he can do here coming up against Houston.
Yeah, he had a nice pass breakup on the third down. You know, Ladd McConkey on a crossing route, he broke it up. So you're right. I mean, a lot of opportunities to get young players some significant snaps, at least for them, but not for the – you know, the record, so to speak. But
right.
You're right, 100%.
Right, and the one thing you wish you could do is have Femi Oladejo in two to continue to see what these young guys can do, because that is important for what the Titans are going to plan to do this offseason, of what holes do you think you need to fill, and where do you think there are promising young players who can step in. Not saying that they're going to go try and replace Femi Oladejo this offseason, but it'd be nice if he came out and was healthy and you started to see promise down the stretch and you're like, all right, that's one edge that we feel great about. Mm. Now we can go work on the other one. At this point, I still feel like the Titans, yes, you probably need to draft an edge, but you might have to bring in some more veteran presence as well.
Yeah, I think you do both, right? You draft and you bring a veteran presence. Do you bring back Arden Key? I mean, I would consider it, you know, at the right price. Why not? You know what I mean? And let him get into that more situational role that I think he's better fitted for. But with Femi Oladejo, he's no longer on the scooter or the crutches.
Right.
You know, I saw him walking through the locker room without it. So that's a positive sign of progress.
So it's been, 5 weeks now since he got hurt?
Yeah.
So
it was the Raiders game, right?
Yes, that sounds right. So, yeah, that was week 6. We're going into week 11. So, yeah, it's been 5 weeks. So I would doubt he's back before December, but maybe you start to get him back for that last month of the season.
Mm-hmm. And on a good note, you know what I mean? Get him some reps and some opportunities to, you know, continue to work on his game and those types of things in game action, and then carry it into the offseason. And we talked earlier about these rookies, and you were talking about Iyo Manor, and we talked about how it's tough right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned the combine training, all that.
Right.
This is the thing. Like, none of these guys got to actually train for a football season.
Right.
This past year was a totally different training process than they've done in quite some time, because when you're training for football, it's different. You know, doing this type of stuff, you're streamlining everything. It's all based on speed, and that's it. And, you know, it's a different type of training.
Right, and you don't get that break after football season. It's like the combine is, for some of these guys, if you're playing in the playoffs, it's a month after your season ends, and you've got to go, and then you're going in and doing visits. It's a whirlwind for these guys, and I think a lot of these rookies, it's kind of just, hey, can we get through it? Like, can we just get through this year, gain some valuable experience, and see if we can come back next year and take a big step forward? So that's the hope for these Titans rookies heading into year two. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans here in the third hour. We'll keep talking about the defense on the other side. We'll also get into the offensive line before we get out of here. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday.
Started on trouble in the neighborhood.
I love it.
We're with your auntie and uncle to Bel Air.
I gotta say, I have not watched this show all the way through. I've seen episodes, but I've always wanted to go back and watch Fresh Prince all the way through, but I've never actually gone through and done it. I don't know where it's streaming is the big thing.
I think it was on Peacock.
I got to find it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great show, man. I tell you what, you want to hear his real rap. He got a song called Brand New Funk. Look up Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff.
All right.
It's on Hulu and Disney Plus.
There it
is. Okay, there we go.
I can promise it'll be better than 911 Nashville.
Yes, it will.
I watched episode 2 of that yesterday. I was thinking this morning, like, you know what? That hour that I spent last night, I probably should have spent reading my book, Think Like a Monk.
There's a whole lot of better things you could spend an hour on than 911 Nashville. I still find myself watching it, though.
I just watched one scene.
It's your city,
right? You know, I want to see how they portray Nashville, and it's really funny. You've watched the first two episodes?
Yeah, the first two.
The girl flying away on the kite.
Yeah, that was wild. did you see the baby delivery? Like that?
Yeah, that was crazy too.
Yeah. Anyhow,
Maybe that's every time that I the next time that I'm like, maybe I should watch what 911 Nashville, I'll just turn on the Fresh Prince anyway.
There you go. And look, to bring it to the Titans, Fresh Prince, Jonnu Smith was a literal Fresh Prince, not of Bel Air, but, you know, he grew up in Philly and you know, some things happened and he got sent to Florida.
Wow.
Live with his aunt and uncle. So you want a real life Fresh Prince?
Wow. Well, maybe they're Jonnu related, Jonnu and Will Smith.
Yeah, right.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Continuing on the Titans defense here, we talk about some of the young pieces they've got. Kevin Winston going to step into a bigger role this week with Quandre Diggs no longer on the team. Marcus Harris has slid into a bigger role with Roger McCreary being traded. We mentioned Cedric Gray, the year that he's had, excited to have a young piece in the middle of that defense. And it always comes back to Devondre Sweat of what is he going to be? You spent a borderline first-round pick on him, and overall the returns have not been what you hoped for. I know you asked Mike Borgonzi specifically about Devondre Sweat and couldn't quite get a great answer. Mike McCoy. You asked Mike McCoy about Devondre Sweat on Monday. Just kind of like, as you've expanded your role from just the offense to the head coach, what have you learned about Devondre Sweat? And you kind of got a non-answer from him.
Yeah, definitely a non-answer. I was like, come on, man. And I even tried to come back afterwards and be like, well, what about Sweat specifically? And, you know, it's going to happen sometimes, but I think it's important – that they do something to get this guy going and to be able to continuously pair him with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, and you might get to see them out there at the same time for the first time this year, except for, I mean, a handful of snaps in the Broncos and the Patriots games. Yep. But if Jeff Simmons can come back, maybe you finally get that tandem in the middle that you said you were building your entire defense around, and so far they have not been able to line up quite yet. We got a text on the text line from Dustin in Hopkinsville. It says, you bring back anything that can block, tackle, or catch. Too many holes to let go of good players. And that made me think of Jahad Ward.
He needs to be back.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. Do you think the Titans bring him back?
Yes. He's a talented player, and you need more talent. He was a former second-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is talented. It just, I think, you know, God bless Denard Wilson. I don't know if he's going to be back or not.
Right.
I think if it's an offensive-minded coach, you definitely have to – head coach it is, you have to consider that. But, you know, there seems to be a match there with, you know, him playing in Denard Wilson's scheme. Like, you're starting to see somewhat of a spark for him.
Yeah, he has definitely been a diamond in the rough that the Titans just brought in after the street after Lorenzo Carter – unexpectedly retired at the beginning of training camp, and he has made some plays for this team. And in edge group next year, if you come back with Femi, Jihad Ward, Jalen Harrell, and then a first or second round pick in this year's draft and kind of a mid-range free agent, that can make that a huge upgrade from what you had at the beginning of this year to next year, because Arden Key's not going to be back. You've already traded away Draymond Jones.
Yeah,
you do need to revamp that room, but if Jahad Ward and Jalen Harrell can maybe be your depth pieces, that allows you to build from the top if you can go get, whether it's a first-round pick like an Arvell Reese or a Reuben Bain or somebody else in the second round, if you can continue to amass draft capital.
Yeah, and I think Reese, to me, is going to depend on, like, what type of scheme. You know, if you do, eye front, you got stand-up rushers, I absolutely. But, you know, if you're going to be, you know, four men with their hand in the dirt,
right.
I don't know that I go Reese, you know what I mean? I just try to figure it out and – you know, see how I could fit him in there. But it's going to really depend on, like, who's coaching the defense.
I did see a text earlier about Arvell Reese, because we did mention him. Mm-hmm. And the texter asked if he could be the next Micah Parsons. And I think that's the comparison that's going to get thrown around, because he isn't – at Ohio State, he isn't used as just your straight-up edge rusher, you know, rushing the passer on every play. That's how Micah Parsons was used at Penn State, was, hey, he was an inside linebacker who could come off the edge. Maybe that's what teams would be looking for with Arvell Reese, of a guy who you can transition to more of a pure pass rusher role.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really the main thing is getting that guy in there that fits your scheme, you know. But has to be a game changer.
Right.
To me, that's why Reese over Bain to me, because if you watch every Ohio State game, you feel Reese.
Yeah.
You don't feel Bain the same
strength
as you feel
from Reese.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you feel his presence.
But it's good to see that there's options at the top of the draft for a lot of the big positions that the Titans need to fill. You only have three top 100 picks right now. You'd love to be able to trade back and get an extra first, an extra second, so you can go edge, wide receiver, cornerback, and immediately fill three premium positions. I know I hate talking draft this early, but I would hope the Titans, if they do end up with the number one pick, don't trade back too far.
Yeah, like, I know, you can't afford it. Like, you
right.
still need premier players. Like, you need to come away with at least one of the best players in this draft.
Yes. And I think it will help the Titans if they do end up with the top pick that – a lot of the teams that they're battling for the top pick with, they all need quarterbacks. The Saints, the Jets, the Browns. Like, they all could be in the market to come up and get a quarterback. And it would be, I mean, dream scenario for the Titans is you get the first pick. Let's say the Jets are picking third. You swap with them. The Saints are in the middle. They take a quarterback. So you get maybe two first-round picks from the Jets this year, and you still get to take the best non-quarterback in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's dream scenario for the Titans.
Yes, exactly.
And you're going to have to lose a lot to get to there. And Justin from Greenbrier on the text line says, I will be excited if this Titans team makes some progress the last half of the season. I'm tired of watching bad football. Give us some life from this team, and the heck with your draft pick number. I think there's a way to get a little bit of both, right? Like, show some progress. Maybe your young guys can win a game for you here and there. But as we saw on Sunday, the other bad teams are going to find a way to win a couple of games here and there, too.
It's going to happen. And maybe they find a way to win, too, the Titans, like they did against the Cardinals, you know. But who knows, man? And I think you just got to let the chips fall where they may.
The further we get from that Cardinals game, the crazier it is that they've won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know that the Jaguars blew a bigger fourth quarter lead on Sunday than the Cardinals did in that game by 1 point. The Jags blew a 19-point lead. The Cardinals blew an 18-point lead. But really, the Cardinals blew a 25-point lead because they were an inch and a half from going up 28-3 in that game. I mean, I still cannot believe the Titans found a way to win that game. And, man, they really should be 0-9 right now. They should be.
Yeah. They should be, because that was one. I mean, think about what happened. Like, the ball being dropped.
It's like we
and then the double, like, Lockett falling. Like, that's
right.
Crazy.
And people don't even talk about the Kyler Murray snap off the face mask that almost got him concussed.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I look back and I'm just like, man, that is one of the craziest ways to win a football game ever. And again, give credit, the Titans, they had given away plenty of those games where the other team was trying to hand it to you. They found a way to win the game, but man, if they were 0-9 right now, they'd be in premium position to get the number
premium.
One pick.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans with plenty of holes to fill this upcoming offseason. Right now, they are in position to get the number one pick. One of the holes that I wanted to talk about is the offensive line, because there's been a whole lot invested into this offensive line, and it's still not performing to the level that you would want it to. So where do the Titans go from here with some really intriguing pieces, but still maybe some spots that they'd want to upgrade with their limited draft capital and what they've got in free agency? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Hey, Parker, chill out, man. Chill out. This is a banger, New York State of Mind. This is a part of one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time, Illmatic. Yeah. Oh, this was a banger.
It's like a lesson for me every time you come in, because
man,
again, this is not like I'm not well versed in any of this. So.
That right there, yo, that's one of those tapes, yeah, cassette tapes that you could play from front to back.
Parker takes a lot of pride in his bump music when you come in.
No,
so
as he should, man.
He's done a nice job today.
It's been a heater today.
It has been a heater.
It's been a heater.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly alongside you. Talking Titans here. 30 minutes to go in the show. If you got any more thoughts or questions for TD, you can get those in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025. Looking at the offensive line, TD, they haven't been horrible this year. Right? Like, giving up a lot of sacks, most sacks in the league, but part of that is your rookie quarterback holding the ball too long. They haven't been horrible, but with the investment that you've put into it, you still want to get more back. And Dan Moore, you're not getting rid of him after 1 year. You're going to get rid of him after 2 years. That contract is basically a 2-year contract. Zero dead money if they move on after next season. J.C. Latham, the injuries, I'm not willing to say it's a complete step back for J.C. Latham, but you haven't seen the progress that you would hope for from the seventh overall pick.
Right.
And then you've got your veterans at center and right guard. Zeitler's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. Will Cushenberry be gone as well? I don't know. But there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of buttons that you can press to make that offensive line get a lot better this offseason without using some of that elite draft capital that you're going to have that probably needs to be allocated in other different places.
Yeah, I think, look, Peter Skoronski is going to continue to elevate. And in my opinion, he's a pro bowler. Maybe not first-team all-pro, but he at least deserves mention, right? And Cushenberry, he's going to continue to, you know, get back from actually what McCoy said yesterday, that he felt like maybe 3 weeks or so, like he first started to really get his legs under him. So you have to consider that. Zeitler, as you mentioned, going to be gone. Jackson Slater, you could slide him in. Or, as you mentioned, use draft capital. The good thing is the offensive line position is one where it's such a collective group.
Yeah.
You could plug somebody in, and it doesn't have to be a first-round pick. You know what I mean? You could put somebody in there and still have a good group. And, I mean, if you look at the capital, like, you got a big-time contract at left tackle. You got two high picks, you know, at guard and right tackle. You got a big-time contract at center. The main thing is that right guard position. And, look, Jackson Slater had a pretty solid camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be a rookie coming from where he did, you know, and be able to step in like he did. So, to me, the offensive line – is not an area where I think you need to look at first, second round. You know, third round, and if somebody's there, yeah. But the thing is, it's all about who are you going to have in place to develop these guys, right? And it's funny you mention that, right? I say that because, look, Bill Callahan was supposed to be, and he still is. Like, he and Jeff Stoutland, like, I'm not going to sit here just because of this experience and say, those are the two premier O-line coaches in the league.
Yes, there's enough of a pedigree there that one disappointing stop doesn't take away everything he's done in his career.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it is going to be important, you know, who you have in there and how this offense works. And, again, collectively, like the most sacks in the league, it's not just the O-line.
No.
Right? It's
collective.
It has a full story.
Yep. Left tackle with Dan Moore. I mentioned that they're probably not moving on from him after this year, even though it's not like he's been – an elite left tackle. I think he's been okay. But do you think that Dan Moore should stop the Titans from taking a tackle early if they have one at the top of their board?
No, if there's a premier one there and he's, you know, one of your best.
And he's like best player available on the board.
I think you have to absolutely consider it because, look, as you mentioned, this contract after next year is done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it also is going to depend upon – because we've seen the level of impatience, right? So it's also going to depend upon, okay, because as a coach, honestly, as a coach, I'm like, if there's a left tackle that's, you know, the third-ranked left tackle, but there's a receiver that's the fourth-ranked receiver, I might lean more towards the receiver because we need that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm going to consider it. Under normal circumstances, I would say take the guy you have higher on your board.
Yeah.
But when you look at this circumstance, it's already been shown that, hey, I mean, if I'm not productive this year and into next year, like, I might join the FFCA.
Right.
Right? The Fired Football Coaches Association. You know what I'm saying? So, and you don't want to be in that club.
That is a good point for Mike Borgonzi,
knowing the quick trigger that Amy Adams-Strunk has had. And I think he is going to get a longer leash, especially based on the early returns from his first draft class. But maybe there's the thought in the head of, hey, we could go get a receiver that would help us right now and could immediately slot in as maybe our number one, number two. Let's say this is late first round or something like mm-hmm. that. Or we could get a left tackle who would sit on the bench behind Dan Moore and maybe take his spot after a year on the bench. I may, if I'm Mike Borgans, be like, all right, I need the guy who's going to make an impact right now and go get that receiver.
Yeah, I think your sense of urgency is a little bit. Now, you got to be careful, right? Because you have the saying, haste makes waste, right? Yep. So you got to be careful. It's a tough situation to have to balance out, and that's why I don't envy, you know, whoever the next coach is or Mike Borgans. I don't envy either, though.
Well, and that's why you want to amass as many picks as possible so you can – you don't have to pick and choose which positions you fill this year. You can fill all of them. Like, let's say you trade back with the Jets. You get their two first this year and their second. And they move up and they take the number one overall pick. Well, now you don't have to really worry about who do we take where. It's like, all right, we've got four premium positions that we want to fill. Doesn't really matter what order we take them in, but whoever's at the top of the board when we get there, let's go that direction.
Right.
That's why the Titans, as much as you want to see this team win, getting that top pick is so important because there is no better place to be as a franchise who is rebuilding, I will qualify it with, because obviously there's a lot of better places to be than the number one pick. Mm. But as a franchise that is rebuilding, there is no better place to be then at the top of the draft when you feel like you already have your quarterback.
Exactly. I mean, that's the critical part because you have all cards on the table in that case, right? If there's a guy that you like better than your current guy, you draft him a la Cardinals. Now, we know it didn't work out as well as they would like to have.
Right.
But then if there's, you know, if you're up there and you got your quarterback and you want to trade back.
The like Titans in 2016.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The reason the Titans got out of the cellar is because of that offseason in 2016.
Yep.
You brought in some veterans. You brought in a guy like DeMarco Murray at running back. But you also made that trade and you got Jack Conklin and Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry. There are some misses in there. Kevin Dodd, you picked at the top of the second round. But guess what? The more picks you have,
Austin Johnson.
Right, Austin Johnson at least made it through his rookie contract with the Titans. The more picks you have, the more throws at the dartboard you get, the easier it is to handle a loss.
Yeah,
right. Like you can miss picks when you have 12 of them in a draft, but when you only have six and you only have two in the top 70, like. You really got to hit those picks.
You got to hit them.
Not saying that you don't want to hit on all of them, but no one remembers that John Robinson took Kevin Dodd and Austin Johnson before Derrick Henry because he still took Derrick Henry.
Right, right. And you have those picks that offset, you know, the bad ones.
Right, right. So this offseason is one of the more important ones in the franchise's history because you have a quarterback who has underwhelmed to this point, but you invested the first overall pick in him. Mm-hmm. You've got to go find him a head coach, and you've got to build the roster around him.
Yeah.
And this offseason, if you fail at either of those, if you don't find the right coach, if you mess up the roster building, you're setting this team back a long time.
A long time.
Yep. It has been a rough 5 years. And not five. Not quite five yet. Three years.
Yeah.
3 years. 3 years from Monday, the Packers win on Thursday Night Football in Lambeau. Titans were 7-3.
Man, what a difference it was from then to now. Jeez.
Wes from Hermitage says on the text line, one of my biggest issues with Cam is this. He was the first overall pick, and isn't even the best ward on the team. A different ward that you found on the streets is. I know he was a second-round pick, but if you get drafted first overall, some things just can't happen. I know this sounds stupid, but the play isn't backing up the 1-1 pick yet. I mean, I get what you're saying, Wes, but like, just because they have another guy with his last name on the team.
Yeah. More the play isn't backing up. Again, it's a process. And Teddy, you know, he said it earlier, you know, the patience,
yep.
It has to be there. And I understand that there's a lot of reason to be impatient because it's been three tough years. It's been a long time where this organization just has continuously been, you know, disrespected and treated like a second tier of franchises in the league. So I get the frustration, you know what I mean? But at some point, it's got to turn around. Like, it's got to.
Yeah.
And they've had their good streaks, right? But you just got to get this ship back on course. And in this case, it's going to take a lot of load in that wagon.
Well, and it is funny. We talked about this in the draft process of, I think Titans fans were scared by their previous mistakes at mm-hmm. the top of draft taking quarterbacks. And I think the PTSD is still there of, you thought you had your franchise quarterback multiple times, whether it's Vince Young, and after he won Rookie of the Year, and that didn't work out. Jake Locker never really showed a whole lot of promise, but you did take him in the top 10. It's like you thought he was going to be the guy. Marcus Mariota, you picked second overall. Like, all of these failures, I think Titans fans have that in the back of their mind of like, all right, well, those ones didn't work out, so why is he going to work out?
Yeah.
You can't think about it that way. All these guys are different. The coaches are different. They've just got to put him in a situation to succeed and hope that his talent shines through.
That's really what it boils down to.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones for TD. We'll get to some of your questions on the other side. And also, we'll have a quick baseball discussion as a very controversial award is going to be handed out tonight. Who's it going to be, Cal or Aaron Judge? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the show on this Thursday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us. They are back in the Music City after a couple of days down in Key West. Tomorrow on the show, Connor Newt will be with us from 9 to 11. We'll preview the football weekend. And then from 11 to 12, Max Herr is going to come on and send us right into Preds pregame coverage from out in Sweden, playing in Stockholm against the Penguins over the weekend tomorrow and Sunday. Couple more thoughts on the text line. Aubrey from Maryland says, do you think Brian Flores has a legit shot for this head coaching job? I think he would bring a great culture to this team, and he was winning in Miami.
Yeah, I think he would bring a great culture. I think he does have a legit shot. And you obviously have to pair him with a high-level offensive coordinator. And you look at the success that he's had in Minnesota. They know that hey, look, that's that team, they're going to attack. You know, they know that defensively. So that is something.
Yeah, I think Brian Flores is up there among the defensive-minded head coaches that you could bring in. Looking at coordinators, Jesse Minter from L.A. is the one name that's being thrown out there a lot. But former head coaches, it's Robert Saleh, it's Brian Flores. And Mike Borgonzi said it last week, they don't care offense, defensive, they want a leader for this team. So really no way to cross anybody off the list. I think the Titans are going to cast a wide net, and they're going to look for somebody who can come in and be the CEO of this team. Because one of the biggest issues with Brian Callahan, I think, was he was more invested in being the guru play caller than being the head coach of the football team.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing. And he even admitted to actually being able to step back and oversee things a little bit more. It still didn't work once he ceded the play calling duties to Bo Hardigree. But to your point, you do want somebody. And it's crazy because Buck Rise and I, we were talking about that, man. And all the things, like, this dude had a very detailed plan. Like, he invited us in and showed us everything. It's just like, wow, this is really interesting. Like, it's not just some little fly-by-night, Boy Scout type. Like, this is real. Like, there's formulas and all this stuff. And you're like, hey. And it just didn't work, man.
Right.
And I think end of the day, you need somebody that's going to come in here as an authority and just really it's like it's this way or no way.
Yeah.
How do you want to do it?
Yeah, and we'll see who the Titans bring in for interviews. There's so many interesting names out there, but we won't really know what the Titans are looking for until the end of the season into January, even though Mike Borgonzi said that search is underway. Getting towards the end of the show here, we were talking a little baseball earlier with your Mets possibly trying to make a trade for Tarek Skubal. Big debate going to be decided tonight. Who do you think's the MVP in the AL, Cal Raleigh or Aaron Judge?
It's a really good question because you say you take Judge away and the Yankees aren't anything, and Cal Raleigh. I give it to Judge. You know what? I'm going to give it to Cal Raleigh because I place an emphasis on the catcher position.
Right.
Right. And I think when you look at that, you're handling the ball pretty much every time it's pitched, and you have an influence. Like, you have to have a calming influence on the pitchers. You know what I mean? And this team. they were very close, the Blue Jays.
They, I mean, they were about as close as you can get to going to the World Series.
Like the Blue Jays, they canceled Christmas in Seattle, but it's okay. I still think Cal Raleigh is the MVP.
It's one of the most highly debated award races that I have seen in any sport in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always races for the MVP in the NFL, the NBA MVP. But by the end of the season, I think everybody kind of has an idea of, okay, this is who it's going to be. This one, I could see it going either way. I really could. Aaron Judge, if you're looking at the pure offensive numbers, obviously had a better season than Cal Raleigh. The only thing that he was lower in was just home runs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you look at OPS and WAR and all this stuff and all the analytics, Aaron Judge was a better offensive player than Cal Raleigh. But Cal Raleigh was a good defensive catcher, managing one of the best pitching staffs in baseball while hitting 60 home runs. Like, it's really tough. Yeah. I don't know which way it's going to go. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be Judge, but nothing would shock me.
Yeah, well, you know, the popularity contest is going to factor in the familiarity that has the body
right,
of work.
Right.
You know. So I look, I wouldn't be mad either way, but I just say Cal Raleigh to me, and he broke the record for catchers, home runs,
and so for switch hitters,
and for like yes, yeah, you got it. He should be it, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm gonna guess it's gonna be Judge. I think there is baseball has a little bit of the opposite of the NBA when it comes to MVP of In basketball, once you win a couple MVPs, I feel like it takes more for you to win another one. People are looking for the new and upcoming thing. In baseball, it feels like once you win a couple MVPs and are widely known as the best player in your league, you get a head start.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody has to prove that they're better than you to knock you off the block.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be, you can't be the up and coming hot thing. They're like, hey, wait a minute. You
right.
It's a more traditionalist type of approach.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this guy's done it. You can't just be as good as him. You have to be way better than him to knock him off. It's going to be Shohei in the NL again. And, you know.
Can you debate it?
Right. I mean, there's nothing you can say.
He is the
most valuable player. It's tough for any other candidates in the NL. But, like, when you are, even though he didn't pitch as much as he usually would this season, he still was the best hitter in the league and was pitching for the Dodgers at the same time. There's no argument. It's going to be Shohei, but going to be very interesting to see how it sorts out on the AL side. Tarek Skubal, back-to-back Cy Young winner. Congratulations to Tarek. Possibly a future Met. I do love with baseball that right after the World Series ends, we get right into the offseason. So maybe as soon as like next week or the week after, we'll be on here talking about some of the big moves for the Mets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, man, you guys already taxed me twice for my tickets. And I know a third one's coming next month, so make something happen.
Go earn those season ticket fees that TD is playing.
No doubt.
That will just about wrap things up for us here on the show. It's been a lot of fun, TD. We'll do it again next week. Quick, before we get out of here, final thoughts on this game this weekend. Texans, they're coming off a comeback victory. They beat the Titans 26-0 last time, but Titans coming off the bye, maybe a chance to take a step forward.
Yeah, seven times in NFL history in the modern day, a team has been shut out twice by the same team in the same season. Last time, the Falcons in 2002 shut the Panthers out. I don't think it happens this week.
I would hope not.
But I still don't think the Titans are going to win, even without C.J. Stroud.
Me neither. I think it's going to be another Titans loss. But we'll see. Maybe we'll be talking about a win next week. TD, always appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure, appreciate it.
That'll do it for us again tomorrow. Connor Newt, Max Herr is going to join us as we wrap up the week and send you into Preds pregame coverage. Jason, Big Joe are back in Nashville. They'll take it from here. Coming up next, you're on 102.5 The Game.